it's time for another meeting, a lunch, a meal. It's Arthur Schwartz, the Food Bench. Hi, Arthur.
Hi, Jill, and everybody else. I mentioned last program that I was going to tell you the history of penne alla vodka, or any kind of pasta, alla vodka, which sounds Italian and, in fact, is. Now, I did a little research because I wanted to see what the Internet said about the origins of this dish. It is a dish that I have only seen literally once in Italy. Well, I'll say twice, but I'll say about the first time. But only once in recent history on a menu. And that was in a neighborhood restaurant, not in the center of Rome at all. Not a restaurant that tourists go to, by the way. And I asked the owner, who, after many years of going there, I became friendly with. They, by the way, they gave up the restaurant. The family gave up the restaurant. It's got to be 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And there's something else there now. But in any case, she said, my cousin told me about this dish. Her American cousin told her about this dish. And she liked it, so she put it on the menu. But if you go on the Internet, you'll find various stories about this. And only one of the things that I read even mentioned the possible real origin, but didn't go into it anywhere near enough. But they quoted Barbara Kafka, who was a dear friend of mine, who died, I don't know how many years ago, but not that long ago. But they quote Barbara Kafka as saying, talking about the dish in 1974. Now, I was in Italy in 1974, and I actually, you don't have to believe this, but it's true, I was there when the dish was invented, more or less. I don't remember what restaurant it was, but I was up north somewhere, and we went to this fancy restaurant, and in those days, in the early, mid-70s, there was a big, big promotion of vodka in Italy. You know, even in the U.S., vodka was not a huge deal until after the 70s. Nowadays, you know, vodka rules, but it wasn't like that in the early 70s. And they were first trying to get Italians to drink vodka then. And there was a contest to use vodka in a recipe. It's a typical way of promoting a new product, a new alcoholic beverage, is have a recipe contest. So I went to this fancy restaurant up north, I don't remember, and like many restaurants then, when you walked in, they had a cart, C-A-R-T, cart, that sort of looked like R2-D2 from Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Is it Star Wars?
Yeah, R2-D2.
Anyway, yeah, or is that Star Wars?
It's Star Wars.
Yeah. This was a little refrigerator with a dome top that had both chilled glasses and chilled the vodka. That was the way they were promoting vodka. They also, because Italians love flavor, and vodka, actually by U.S. definition, is flavorless and colorless, just by the way, and in the early 70s, it was then illegal to sell flavored vodka in the U.S. because of that legal definition of colorless and flavorless. So in Italy, they were promoting flavored vodka already in the 70s, and one of them was vodka flavored with hot pepper. And that's the ingredient that became penne alla vodka. It wasn't just plain old vodka. It was hot pepper vodka, which gave a kick to the sauce, obviously. And it's nothing but a tomato cream sauce, nothing special about it at all, except for the little bit of vodka. And if you look up recipes for this, I never make this, but if you look up recipes for this, I do make tomato cream sauce, though, sometimes. If you look up the vodka recipes, you'll find it's like 2 tablespoons of vodka in a lot of sauce to sauce maybe a pound of pasta. So it's very, very little vodka. The alcohol, in fact, does not totally evaporate, But what it does do is it helps. They say I'm not going to make this as a claim that the vodka emulsifies the cream and tomato so that they're smoother together. I can make you a tomato cream sauce that is extremely smooth and will not have a drop of vodka in it. But you know, it catches the imagination. Spaghetti sauce with vodka in it. And the Italians at the beginning thought this was, you know, a cool thing. And in this recipe contest, the one that used pepper vodka to make a tomato cream sauce won. And that was, I was in this restaurant just after the contest, and the dish was sort of popular of the moment. You know, it had been heavily promoted by I don't know which vodka company. But it was heavily promoted. I don't know what American decided to make it here. There is a claim for a chef here in New York having invented the recipe, which I don't think is so. I'm pretty sure is not. And then there are other claims of invention of this. I'm not sure why you would want to claim it in any case. But Barbara Kafka is cited in one of these articles that I read as saying that it was invented in Italy in the early 70s, and she was totally correct. So, penne alla vodka, I'm not going to give you a recipe, but let me just say that if you make a regular old marinara, meaning plain tomato sauce, made with either onion or garlic, whatever you like, not both, you know, you saute the garlic in oil, you saute the onion in oil, you add your tomato. I these days am devoted to passata, which is tomato puree. And I buy either Mutti, M-U-T-T-I, which is an Italian brand, or Cento, which is an American brand, but it's Italian puree. They're both very good. And by the way, look at the price, because one store I shop in had the Mutti for over $6 a bottle, and another store I shop in was selling it for just over $3 a bottle. So it should not cost very much. Anyway, you pour in your puree, you simmer it for a few minutes. It's now got the flavor of onion or garlic and some good olive oil. And then you pour in some cream. Now, if you want to do the vodka thing, I would put the vodka in first, bring the tomato thing to a simmer, add, you know, no more than a quarter of a cup, probably a couple tablespoons of vodka is enough, and stir that in and let it simmer a minute or two, and then add your heavy cream. To your taste, I would say you probably don't need more than a half a cup. If you're making, let's say, 2 cups of sauce, a half a cup of cream. And that's it. It's everywhere, as you must know. I mean, we even have pizzerias in Brooklyn that have pizza topped with penne alla vodka, or vodka pizza, as they call it. So anyway, it is an Italian dish, technically. However, hardly anybody I know in Italy knows anything about it. And I told you only one restaurant I ever saw had it. And it's very, very popular here, but it is not really American. Now, another dish that I'm going to have to say is American, because nobody in Italy makes this either, and that's pasta, whatever pasta you're going to have, Alfredo. I mean, here in the States, we even have jarred Alfredo sauce. I have not looked at the ingredients in the jarred Alfredo sauce, but I'm sure there are things in there that I don't want to eat. I mean, because the real Alfredo is nothing but butter and cheese. There's no cream in the real Alfredo sauce. It is very, very creamy, but it's not cream. So my story about fettuccine, which is, by the way, a word that's strictly Roman, used in other places, but mainly Rome. In other places, it's called tagliatelle, G-L-I-A, tagliatelle. There's a little lead there. It's not tagliatelle. Anyway, it's a narrow ribbon pasta. Anyway, with Alfredo. So many years ago, I have to actually look this up and see if I can come up with the year. I broadcast from Rome when I was on WOR radio, commercial radio. I forget who paid for me to be in Rome for a week, but somebody wanted me in Rome for a week. at, maybe it was the Italian Tourist Board or something. And they put me up in a fabulous luxury hotel called, I think it's called the Principe, Parco Principe. It's right on the park. And it's even has an outdoor pool, which is unheard of in Italy. I mean, in Rome. In any case, I stayed there for a whole week, and they gave me an incredible penthouse apartment, really. It was two bedrooms, a living room, and a terrace, and at the top of the building. Bob was with me, and my then assistant, Sean Brady, was with me. So we had lots of room, and we were very comfortable, and we became friendly with the staff. And they knew what I was up to because I was broadcasting every day from the hotel talking about Roman food. So at the end of the week, when I was free, didn't have to prepare anymore, blah, blah, I decided, since I had never had fettuccine Alfredo in the restaurant where it was invented, I had to do that while I was in Rome. And I called down to the desk and said, could you make me a reservation at Alfredo's of Rome? They said, no, sir, Arthur, you don't want to go there. I said, why don't I? They said, the food is terrible. I know, but it's the pasta is famous, so I need to do this. So they gave in, warning me not to eat anything but the pasta. And I went with my friends, including a couple of Roman friends, and who had never been there either. And, you know, the story about this dish and the reason it is so popular in America is that Mary Pickford and Bob, was it Douglas Fairbanks, the husband of Mary Pickford?
Yes.
When Douglas Fairbanks and Mary Pickford were on their honeymoon in Italy, they went to this restaurant and they had this dish, and they loved it so much that when they got back to California, back to Hollywood, they promoted it, so to speak, in the sense they talked about it a lot. And they even were so thrilled with this dish that they made a gift of a golden spoon and fork to Alfredo himself so he could toss this pasta in the dining room with the golden utensils. I've got to say, part of the appeal of this dish is watching it be tossed tableside, and which we did, and it was sensational. But what they do is they bring out a platter that looks like nothing but undressed noodles topped with a lot of grated cheese. And then the waiter tosses it from the bottom up, bottom up, bottom up, and on the bottom is an inordinate amount of butter. I don't think they want you to know how much butter there is, but there's a lot of butter. And really, just tossing it together, the pasta with grated cheese and the butter makes a very creamy sauce, which Americans decided had cream in it, but it doesn't. It doesn't have cream. So that's how they can make an Alfredo sauce. To make it, it's not to sauce it, meaning you don't make a sauce separately. It's part of the dish itself. So Douglas Fairbanks and Mary Pickford popularized this dish in California. And, of course, when the celebrities were eating it, everybody wanted to eat it, and that's how it became popular. I don't think it really became as popular as it is today in my life. It became popular in my lifetime, not only in my lifetime, in my professional lifetime. But then when I think that my professional lifetime goes back 55 more years, anyway, I have friends who are celebrating their 54th wedding anniversary, and I remember their first date, which shocked them the other day when I said, I remember your first date, because Fran, who was my colleague at Newsday, came back the next morning all excited that she'd met him. Anyway, so that's Alfredo. You know, it's more popular in America than it is in Italy. I've never, ever seen that on a menu, except at the one place in Rome that invented it. Well, there probably are some other places that do it, too. Another one that Americans have adopted, but actually is still made in Italy, is tiramisu. more popular, I think, in America than it is in Italy, but it's pretty popular in Italy, too. My first tiramisu was at home. I was staying with the mother and sister of a Florentine friend who lived in New York. And I was there with him on this trip, and his sister, an adult. When we came home from whatever we were doing that day, his sister had made for us tiramisu, because tiramisu means pick-me-up, and the old way of time to eat it was mid-afternoon, like English tea time, and it was, you know, it was a snack you had between lunch and dinner, or whenever you needed a pick-me-up. And it wasn't a fancy thing made, you know, that took time to do. Leila, my friend's sister, just put some stale pound cake, or not really pound cake, but, you know, pound cake, on a platter. Stale meaning it was a few days old already. And then she doused that to make it soft with some coffee, a little bit of espresso. And then she spread that with a mixture of beaten mascarpone. I'm not sure if she put an egg in it. Some people put a raw egg yolk in it. I bet you she didn't. But mascarpone beaten with some sugar until it's a little fluffy, and then whipped cream, and that was it. That was the basic tiramisu. It wasn't until several years later that I first had a really composed, let's call it, tiramisu, in a restaurant. And it was, I remember it distinctly because I was seeing somebody who lived in Bologna. We went out to eat, and this woman in the restaurant that he was very fond of, she liked to claim that she was the first one to serve tiramisu in a restaurant. Maybe she was. She had a very elaborate tiramisu with chocolate and whipped cream and, of course, doused cake and blah, blah, blah. And it was all beautifully presented with powdered cocoa on top and lots of whipped cream. A soft, spoonable dessert. In fact, in Italy, that kind of a dessert is called a spoon dessert because, you know, it's not cake, it's not a tart, it's something you eat with a spoon. So that, you know, that dates back also to the early 70s, mid-70s. Tiramisu still was not a thing. But now it's a thing here. I mean, even my local pizzeria will deliver you a tiramisu. But I'm laughing because it's an Italian product. There's a company called Bindi. You may have run across it. It's everywhere. B-I-N-D-I. And they make various kinds of Italian desserts, and then sell them packaged for restaurants. This tiramisu comes in a very attractive, clear plastic box, trapezoidal box. And by the way, a tiramisu, like its cousin, a English trifle, looks very good in clear glass. And if you want to build up a nice big one in a big, big glass bowl, it really is, looks impressive, and it's very easy to do. Now, I don't make tiramisu, but I do make a Neapolitan sort of version of that, which is generically known as a delizia. Delizia means delight, not really delicious. So a delight of whatever you want. Now, my delights are based on ricotta, not on cream or mascarpone, which is, I mean, everybody in Italy uses mascarpone these days, but it's basically a northern ingredient, whereas ricotta is a southern ingredient. And ricotta is often used as a creamy base for dessert. Cannoli is a prime example. The filling of cannoli is ricotta, creamed, meaning smoothed out. You can push it through a sieve or put it in a blender. Sweetened. I use powdered sugar for this. And what I do is I use Savoiardi, or those crisp lady fingers, to form my dessert. And for my delizia with ricotta and marmalade, by the way, so pantry ingredients, I used to keep Savoiardi in the house all the time. It's too dangerous for me. I eat them just like that. So I don't only buy them these days when I make a dessert. And by the way, I think every supermarket nowadays carries these Italian ladyfinger called Savoiardi. So for this one, you need 18 Savoiardi. This is enough to feed 6 people. And I use 1 cup of ricotta. Now, you can push it through. It very much depends on your ricotta. Some ricotta is very grainy. Some ricotta is very smooth. I also buy a kind of drained ricotta, which has a low moisture content and can be sliced, in fact, although it falls apart easily. So 1 cup of ricotta, either press it through a fine sieve into a mixing bowl, or if you want, put it in your mini processor. I wouldn't dirty up the whole processor for this. And to that, you're going to add 2 tablespoons of confectioner's sugar. Beat the sugar into the ricotta. Or I also, if it's not a very liquid ricotta, you want to add a little bit of heavy cream. So in that case, you might want to dissolve your confectioner's sugar in a couple tablespoons of heavy cream. In any case, the ricotta gets seasoned with sugar, and if you need it to thin it out a little bit, some cream. The end texture should be spreadable. Now, you want to use a rubber spatula, blend this whole thing together. You're going to need the spatula for spreading it. And the marmalade, you need a 1/2 cup of marmalade. I love marmalade. If you don't love the bitter edge of orange marmalade, you can use any preserve or marmalade you like. I mean, you can use raspberry preserves, strawberry preserves, whatever flavor you like. But you're going to need about 1/2 cup. And then you're going to need something to moisten those lady fingers. I generally use orange juice, but you can use just water, actually. But flavor your water or your orange juice with a little bit of orange liqueur, say, for 1/2 cup of orange juice, a couple tablespoons of orange liqueur of any kind, or rum, or brandy. And if you don't want to use, you can even use, I have used dry sherry. Also, I always have in the house limoncello, because I make limoncello. So I might just season mine with limoncello, diluted with a little water. In any case, whatever liquid you have, you quickly dip your Savoiardi in. Turn the Savoiardi in the liquid, but don't let it sit and soak, because they absorb very quickly. And arrange, I would say, 6 Savoiardi side by side on a platter or big plate, and then spread over them, these moistened Savoiardi, about 1/3 of your ricotta mixture, and then drizzle that with your preserves, whatever they are. By the way, if you need them to be runnier than they are out of the jar, you can always stick them in the microwave for less than a minute, you know, seconds, just to loosen it up. And drizzle the ricotta with the flavor of choice, and then top that with another layer of doused 6 doused Savoiardi, and then you can put on more ricotta and either top that immediately with the last 1/3 layer of Savoiardi, or and drizzle the Savoiardi. You can brush the Savoiardi with marmalade or preserve to give it a little color and glaze, or you can put it underneath the Savoiardi, whatever you like. This needs to sit in the refrigerator for several hours. In fact, it's even better if it sits overnight, because the Savoiardi become cake-like. They absorb a lot of moisture. And you can decorate this with whipped cream. When I use, I love the combination of orange and chocolate, so if I'm also have chocolate in the house, I'm likely to shave some chocolate on the top, too. By the way, I just happened to notice, because I'm into this, that there are desserts with Savoiardi all over the internet all of a sudden. And there's one that I saw on TikTok that I have to track down because I definitely want to make this, especially now that I have Savoiardi in the house. You line a pan with them in a beautiful pattern. This particular recipe, somebody made it into like a chevron pattern. And you pour a custard over them and bake it. That sounded so good to me. So it's a custardy, it's a custard with Savoiardi embedded in it. Nice, huh? So anyway, got my work cut out for me here.
Hmm. Are you hungry yet?
You know, I have to go buy the ricotta. Well, as soon as I have it in the house, I will be hungry.
I have two random things to go back to. One is the, did you ever, in decades ago, at the Russian Tea Room, have a bull shot?
A bull shot?
A bull shot. And it's the beef with pepper vodka with a little bit of beef broth and vodka, pepper vodka, a little bit of vodka. I can say this. Pepper vodka in a little bit of beef broth.
Oh.
It's called a bull shot.
My only issue with this is, I'm not a vodka drinker.
This is before vodka.
But the beef, I bet you the beef broth was good.
Well, anyway, it was really good. I'm not a vodka
bullshot.
Person either. But the, you know, it really spiced up the beef broth.
I bet it did.
And that is all I could think of when you were telling about penne alla vodka. Because the spiciness, you know, the spice of the pepper with the, you know, would give it a little kick.
Oh, yeah. You know, I just said that I wasn't interested in vodka, but I do drink Bloody Marys, and they're made with vodka. But there's so much going on in a Bloody Mary. The vodka is just...
Right, powerful. And you don't need the vodka. The old...
if you want just the spices.
What?
Yeah, if you want to drink the spices.
Yeah, it's basically Virgin Marys have been a staple for a long, long time.
Oh yeah,
and they're everything but the vodka, and you know.
Right.
Great.
Absolutely. All right.
Well, that's
it. Anyway, no. Of all the things I talked about today, the only one that I actually may do, because I do have a half a bottle of passata in the refrigerator, is I might make some tomato cream sauce today. We had cherry tomato, fresh cherry tomato sauce the other day, so I can indulge in some kind of prepared tomato sauce.
I mean, just basically, it's the I part company with the cream. Like I'm not much for cream in tomatoes, but I very much for cherry tomatoes, a little olive oil, a little garlic around.
That's all it was.
Yeah, okay.
That's all my cherry tomatoes, oil, and garlic.
I don't see how anyone could possibly go wrong.
All right, I need to go, and
all right,
you need to go, and we need to close.
Okay.
So everybody have a very productive week, I'm going to say, this week.
And eat
first
well.
First week after Labor Day, and people get back in the mold, you know.
You as well. Love to Bob, and we will talk to you next time. And thank
Take
you very
care,
much,
everyone.
Arthur Schwartz. This has been Arthur Schwartz, The Food Mensch on Robin Hood Radio.